Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people that bust them, everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. The Friday Freak Show edition of the program has begun. Let's do it. We're countdown to kickoff is on. College football, NFL football, CFL football. We got it all going on. I'm still rattled. All these days are sort of morphing into one already. We're one day in. And if that's a sign of things to come after what we saw in the National Football League last night, people better buckle up for the year that's to come. An improbable, strange game. It started with a player getting ejected for spitting on Dak Prescott. It started with eight consecutive drives that were scoring drives to start a football game. There were 41 points in the first half of a football game in which it closed at 47 and a half. And it's the first time in 30 years, that a game has started with eight consecutive scores and ended with eight consecutive drives without any points. So I don't like the term bad beat because whatever, if you lose, you lose. It's a bad bet. I don't believe in the term it was a good bet, but it lost. If it didn't win, it wasn't a good bet. But when something hasn't happened in 30 years, the first time in 30 effing years that that's happened, then you can say, yeah, you know what? That was a bad beat. You know, it's been 30 years since that happened. But it's a cold world, and they play the national anthem every day, and they play it a lot. And we got a ton of games to break down. Let's bring in Rob Vino. Rob Vino, sportswagertalk.com. We got Cam Stewart in the house. Rob's in Philadelphia, and he tweeted out yesterday. I retweeted it. And Rob warned about weather and how the weather was sort of like volatile and changing every hour in Philadelphia yesterday. It didn't appear to have any impact on the football game until it did, Rob. And I swear, and I'm sure you know this too from betting on these CFL totals, the CFL, there's a lot of summer delays and stuff like that. And every time, Rob, there's an effing delay, the game always goes under. Like, these delays in football are over killers.
Yeah, you can probably move that to college football as well. I mean, I have seen a couple where it's worked out in college football. They come out and light up the scoreboard, but still, for the most part, those delays do hurt. They just wreck all continuity, and it wrecked the offensive continuity last night for sure. I'll just add to this real quick, Gabe, as we're on it. Number here that I retweeted last night. Games in the NFL that have scored 40 or more points in the first half and had a full game over or under at less than 50, which last night is the case. They were 172-1 over the last 20 years. Now they're 172-2.
So you talk about 30 years and now 170. Yeah, so some's 172-1, and you're on the wrong side of it. Then that's a rough way to start the season. And hey, congrats, somebody bet the under. Somebody out there won. Because then I saw some people actually boasting about it after. Oh, great pick. I knew it was going under. It's like, shut the F up. There was an hour, hour and a half delay. Shut up. All right. You know what I mean? Like, just, you know, hey, but it is what it is. But as long as we're talking NFL right now, let's get right down to business because time's at a premium. And we'll start off with the National Football League. Quick take on Friday's game, and then we'll get into the Sunday slate. But the Chiefs are laying 3. The total, 46.5. Of course, they're playing in Sao Paulo, Brazil. The weather's not going to be a factor. It's a beautiful weather in Brazil today there. But, Rob, I don't want to bet. I'm going to bet an under, and this game's going to turn into an effing track meet here somehow. But I've been saying all week, this one feels more like a slugfest. I expected points last night, but what's your quick take on the Friday nighter?
Well, I isolated it, Gabe, a couple of days ago. I bet the Chiefs over 23.5, figuring 24 is a key. I'd be good there. I think they'll put up 24. Just a quick couple of reasons why. Obviously, they're dedicated to pushing the ball downfield this year. When Patrick Mahomes tells you, we're going to go vertical more, haven't done it in a couple of years, we're going to do it this year. Granted, they're without Rashee Rice, but there's enough other speed.
Do they have the personnel to do it? That's my question. Mm-hmm.
Well, the speed weapons would be Worthy and Brown, right? Marquise Brown and Worthy to get you deep. And probably, I think in his terms, when we say vertical, I think that also means deep intermediate, 18 to 20 yard stuff downfield, which they haven't really pushed for. So I think they'll certainly go after it. I think their focus, to tell you the truth, Gabe, was more on the offensive side of the football this offseason than it was defensive. They kind of rebuilt that offensive line. We'll get to see Josh Simmons, first round pick from Ohio State, first time out. So I isolated it that way, but you can't do that any longer because that team total has moved with the full game total up to 24.5 now. You know, guys who like to middle would probably take the other side and play under 24.5 at this point and root for a 24, but I'm not that guy.
What are you expecting from the Chargers offense? Harbaugh's got to open things up a bit, right? He can't just, you know, this isn't the Big Ten, right? You've got Justin Herbert. Right. You've got to use him.
I agree. I totally agree. And I don't know, you know, if we know what he does, run the ball, tight end, couple of deep shots. But I have a lot of respect for the Kansas City defense, to tell you the truth, Gabe. And we'll see how San Diego's offensive line works out. Obviously, the Rashawn Slater injury during summer practice really hurt them. Get to move Joe Walt, over to that tackle spot. But we'll see. I like the Kansas City defense quite a bit, so I wasn't as trusting with the L.A. Chargers offense as I was with KC's.
There's a perception out there that the Chargers like, play with the, you know, they're very competitive and they could beat the Chiefs. They haven't beaten them since 2021. Like it's unbelievable. There have been some close games, 19-17, 17-10, 13-12, 31-17, 30-27, 27-24, 34-28. But you get the pattern here, right? That it's been pretty one-sided. The Chiefs have won 8 of the last 10 times that they've played, and it should be noted the Chargers are 4-6 against the spread. So they've covered 4 times. And tonight, Cam, there's not really, you're not really getting any points. You're getting 3 points, but it's not really a point spread here. KC sort of just have to win the game. KC feel like the play, as Rob sort of was just talking about being focused, coming off the Super Bowl loss. Anybody that saw Travis Kelce and the press conference in Brazil, he looked good. Like, he looked good. He looked in really good shape. Like, he even talked about, look at last year, guys, I was all pudgy and my jersey was tight. Like, he was joking about how he's in better shape. This marriage stuff, like the engagement, he seems to be like living high. He's living a dream right now. So they could come out and attack. I'm worried about the under. But at the same point in time, I kind of think the Chargers, you know, could be better than people think and are ready to punch the Chiefs in the mouth. What's your pick, Cam, for the game?
I love the under all week, guys. And yeah, after what you said, Marinci, I'm a little bit gun shy too. You know, these international games with the weird turf, you said the weather's going to be good, but sometimes the turf's not as perfect as it needs to be. This is the thing. I'm with the Kansas City Chiefs. And like you, Gabe, I'm not a fan of this team, but I also look at them at a field goal or under and say they should take care of business. And until Justin Herbert, this is another thing about Herbert, Gabe, and you've been on this from the get-go. And when are you going to win a fourth quarter? When are you going to come back? When are you going to take this team on your back like you did with Oregon against Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl? I haven't seen that a lot in the NFL. He kind of gets a free pass, but he's going to have to be better. Ladd McConkey will be big in the game. But I'm just telling you, to Rob's point, Kansas City's defense is a little bit underrated. I'm taking the under with caution, and I'll take the Chiefs.
One thing that we see, history repeats itself often. So we sort of saw with the Cowboys and the Eagles, you could just sort of sense that the Eagles were going to win the game and Saquon was going to make a play. And teams kind of are who they are. And I understand there's always the first to worst and all this in the NFL, but for the most part, history does repeat itself. Like we see it, you know, Nebraska. And I think the Chargers and Nebraska are sort of a good comparison in a sense. And Rob, you know, like Nebraska, they always start off games strong, right? We saw it against Cincinnati in their game. I'm talking about the Cincinnati Bearcats. Nebraska, they start these games out strong. And Matt Rhule is just 4-10 in one score games. And we saw what a hard time it was for him to close the game out late in the game. The Chargers are the same thing, guys. This is an interesting trend. And, you know, trends, you can argue trends, right? Trends are like polls for politicians. If they agree with it, they like it. If they don't, they say polls are stupid, right? But this really isn't a trend. It's more so kind of just a fact. The Chargers, guys, are 15-6. On the money line, their last 21 games, Rob, in the first half. Like, and you think about that. Like, yeah, they start off strong. And, like, look, you know, Herbert blew that massive lead in the playoffs. Like, this has been the MO of the Chargers. And it's amazing. So they're, like, plus 125 on the money line. They're, like, plus 125 on the money line in the first half. Yet they're also like 4-12 their last 16 fourth quarters against the spread. So like you see the pattern with the Chargers all the time. And I think it's going to be the same thing tonight. I think the Chargers come out hot, look good in the first half, and then the Chiefs end up winning the game, Rob.
Yeah, and the first half angle is interesting, Gabe, because the 15-play script of Andy Reid has always been praised, right? His first 15 coming out of the chute to start a game are always productive. Go back to the playoff game last year that they played.
Yeah, those first drives.
Yeah, I mean, they get to it early. So
I tend
that's
to believe
good...
Harbaugh would have a – I think their script would be ready to go too, though. I think the Chargers' first drive. Hey, I cashed out last night, guys. Well, there are both teams to score in the first quarter. It was plus 110. What do you think about that, Vino? Both teams to score in the first quarter tonight. It's kind of contrarian because everyone's thinking so under, but it could happen. I like both their scripts to start the game.
I agree with that. Like I say, that could be a good punch, counterpunch angle. To Cam's point about these international games, Gabe, I've always had this theory that the NFL wants to put on a show for these international contests. They want to expand around the globe. They want to show some offense, show some flash.
Call
it doesn't always work out.
Tell the refs. Call that.
I mean, there's been some 6-0 duds involving Jacksonville or whoever. But for the most part, that's kind of a theory I subscribe to.
Rob Vito kicking with us, Cam Stewart in the house. All right, so there's the Friday nighter. As long as we're on the National Football League right now, Rob, what do you think about Sunday's games? Let's start off with any sides catch your eye. And then, of course, you are a big totals guru, so I wanted to get your thoughts on some NFL totals. I'll throw the total out there, and I'll get it going with this. Panthers-Jaguars, not a game a lot of people are talking about. Panthers ended the season 7-2 against the spread last year. But something that caught my eye about this, and just thinking about these teams, and I think Carolina's offense is going to be good and better, and I still think their defense is like less than average, and let's just call it off when it is bad. But these two teams were a combined 22-12 to the over last year, Rob. I kind of get the feeling that it'll continue. Like I'm expecting some points in this football game in Jacksonville on Sunday.
Yeah, and a lot of that's attributed to the poor defenses, right? I mean, the defenses were giving up points. You could almost, in pen, write down Carolina-Jacksonville going to allow 23, 24, somewhere in that vicinity, which in the NFL can get you to an over pretty quickly. How quick do they develop under Liam Cohen's new system? That'll be key if Trevor Lawrence takes to it right away. You would expect Jacksonville to be an improved offensive team. We saw the improvement out of Carolina last year, and they showed nothing in preseason, Gabe. They were a preseason dog. Just fade them, and you won a lot of money.
No, but
so
you
I
know
can
what?
Understand.
With the brief time, sorry, Rob, but with the brief times that Bryce Young was on the field with Tet McMillan, they were lighting it up, and they were throwing it down the field. I don't think they drafted this kid out of Arizona not to use him, right? So, you know, you got Leggett, and now you throw in Tet McMillan out of Arizona. Bryce Young is developing. Suddenly he's got some weapons. I think they're going to stretch the field a bit in Carolina this year in Charlotte.
Yeah, you have to agree with that because of the way they closed the season offensively. The point about preseason, they play it so close to the vest. People look at that and say it's just Carolina. I think the key here, Gabe, is that you're sitting, I think 46.5 was the number in that game, which is under 47, the key. So that's always big for me in playing these totals. I don't mind winning by a half a point. They pay me just the same if I win by 100 or win by one. So probably a decent look there with Carolina Jacksonville up and over.
Any overs or unders catch your eye, Rob?
You know, the Las Vegas New England game just sets up as an under, right? It's Mike Vrabel against Pete Carroll. Let's see who makes the first mistake. Not a ton of pushing down the field I wouldn't expect in this contest. You hope that there's not a lot of turnovers to hurt you, but I think there's still a couple of straight 44s out there. Maybe you can make some hay with an under. And believe me, I've said
Rob
it before.
Rob surprises me with an under, Cam. His first play of the year.
I like it.
On the show. He's coming at me with an under.
That Vino, he's flipping the script. I like I'm with him, though. Like, New England's going to want to run the ball, and the Raiders, Pete Carroll, despite, like, him being rah-rah, I know this guy, Gabe. You do, too. This guy, like, honestly, it's right. It's like a fight. Who's going to make the first mistake? You know, I'm going to hit you with a couple jabs, and then maybe take – but they're not going to take shots the way other teams will. It's going to be very conservative. I like the – I'm seeing 43.5, 44. I'm with Rob, under.
So Rob and Cam say under 44 to Patriots and Raiders game. You got Vrabel, like a good point as far as Vrabel and Pete Carroll going head to head here and their returns to the National Football League. Interesting dynamic there. Any overs, Rob? Is there a game on the board you think can turn into a track meet? What about my Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday night?
Well, you gave me an under the radar, and I'll give you one of my favorite under the radars here would be Arizona, New Orleans up and over 43.5 points.
I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah.
Everyone criticizes Rattler. He can make some plays. He can run around a bit, and I think Arizona's offense is going to be really good this year.
Yeah, there's times when I come on this show and I feel like we share the same head, Gabe, because I feel the same way. Spencer Rattler, for what it's worth, you just go back to South Carolina and realize that his final year he played with 9 different offensive lines in his first 9 games because of injury. It was so hard for him. But he can throw the football. And remember how they started last season when Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed were both healthy. They're putting up 40-plus in 2 games. So I don't know that Kellen Moore is down there to – hand off the football, get 3 yards, and go to the next play. I don't particularly like New Orleans' defense. I think Kyler Murray in Arizona can do damage there, too. So, to me, 43.5 still at this price looks a little bit low.
I talked about this earlier in the week. Perception and reality are always two different things. People always talk about Dak Prescott sucking. Guy 76-36 as a starter in the National Football League. He got a great ATS record and they covered last night. Kyler Murray's another one. Kyler Murray, there's a lot of negative, you know, this and that, and he's terrible, and he's overrated. Kyler Murray is 25-12-2 against the spread in his career on the road. 67.6 cover rate is the second best by a starting quarterback in the NFL since 1970. All right, perception and reality are often two different things. Kyler Murray and... Normally, he's an underdog on the road, right? So that's, you know, this is just a little bit of different of a scenario. But Kyler Murray is a road warrior. He just is. The numbers speak for themselves right there. And for survivor players out there, I know people are going to be a little apprehensive about Arizona. Do you do any survivor, Rob, at all?
This year, I'm not involved in a survivor. I have been for like 20 years straight. You would think this week, Gabe, Denver's a popular play, right? Denver bandwagon can't be rolling any faster than it is right now. And they probably do confuse Cam Ward a little bit here in his first game on the road. I would think Denver's even a good play here. And I say that only because, Gabe, I think it sets us up for down the road. I honestly hope Denver wins by 4 touchdowns so we can get an overvalued Denver team. Yeah, become a little overrated. That would probably be a popular one. You would have to think that Joe Burrow in Cincinnati would be a popular one, but I wouldn't go there because I don't trust Cincinnati's
defense
still. How
about this? Bengals. And we all know this, too. The Bengals, 1-9 straight up in weeks 1 and 2 with Joe Burrow.
I think that's a good win, Gabe. I think that's a very dangerous game.
They've just lost like 1 season opener or something. Like 1-9 straight up, 10 games in weeks 1 and 2. Joe Burrow is 1-9, 3-7 against the spread. Yeah, but Cam, the numbers come down so much, and everyone's talking about this so much that the number's too low right now almost.
You're not going to believe my survivor pick, Gabe. Take a guess who I'm picking this week. I got 2 pools, but I'm taking a shot. What do you think? You know me. Who am I taking?
It's not Denver, I guess.
Nope. 3-point spread, 3.5-point spread.
I don't know.
Jaguars.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Jaguars survivor pick. In the battle of cats. Kitty litter. Meow, man.
I got to tell you, I haven't entered yet, but I'm probably going to have like 10 entries in the Bet Online Circus Survivor, and I'm not using a Jags.
Me, Gabe. I'm a little bit off. I'm a little bit off. That's who I am.
No, but the only reason I'm not calling you out for it, but the only reason is last year you were the one, Carolina are going to be good this year. Carolina are going to be good this year. They weren't. You were wrong, and now they actually could be good this year, and you could be like you're going to lose in the first game.
That's fair early, but they were great late. They started to cover late in the season. But you're right. I should have waited. Bad timing, but I just like the Jaguars to improve this year. And Gabe, I'm not against Carolina. I just don't like the matchup coming out of the gate. The Jaguars at home, and I think they win. Got to take chances.
All right. What's your other survivor pick?
Arizona and Jacksonville. That's the popular one, and then I took one. Kind of different one with Jacksonville.
How many people you think have already skated through with Philly? Like, that's got to be a huge percentage that are already in, right?
I considered it last night, too. I was like, yeah, I should just do it to get it out of the way in one. Like I said, Bet Online, you can enter multiple times. So, and it's not $1,000 to enter, so you actually have options. Listen, I'm going to do one with the Buffalo Bills just to attack. I don't mind, like, the pick 'em games and, like, just sort of go after it.
That's bulls too. Yeah. Like Baltimore is a favorite in the game. Like, you know what I mean? That's a tough game.
Exactly. Right. So, and also one thing for survivor players out there, if you're tuning in, don't buy into this. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to take this team now because I want to save them for later. And I want to save Buffalo. I want to save this team or that team. Guys, like 78% of the people in Circus Survivor were eliminated after 2 weeks last year.
Right.
You don't have time to save shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, survive each week. The only thing you got to remember is you need those Thanksgiving and Black Friday teams available. So just sort of, you know, remember to look at that schedule, and that's because they count that as a separate week. All right, I want to get some calls because Rob's got to get out of here in like 10 minutes, and me and Cam will get to some NFL bets here. Any final thoughts as far as the National Football League is concerned, Rob? Texans, Rams, Lions, Packers, 49ers, Seahawks. You know what? I'll quickly say here that Buccaneer-Falcon game, Rob, I think could get after it a little bit here. I know it's week one, but I think there could be some points. The total's 47 there.
Yeah, and there were points last year, too, if I remember right. Gabe, don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I believe those two put up points. And Mayfield's offense,
Penix is good. And you know Tampa are going to move the ball.
Absolutely. I think both ways. I think Tampa's defense a little bit improved. Hopefully Atlanta's pass rush gets a little bit of improvement too for their overall sake. But they pushed that number now most spots to above 47, or it's hanging at above 47. I'd love to get it down that extra half point and be able to play up and over 47. Haven't done it yet, but I wouldn't play under. I think real quick here, Gabe, the one forgotten team, I think I might have mentioned this to you before, but I mean, Micah Parsons got traded, and the world is on fire for Green Bay, and everybody just seems to forget Detroit. They're plus 2.5 in that game. You'd almost have to go money line with Detroit because I don't think they're going to lose by one. Probably if they're going to win the game, they're going to win the game. But I don't see Green Bay as being, you know, that much better than Detroit, especially with the state their receiving core is. And their receiving core is a mess right now.
I know, but you're killing me because I got to come up with five picks for the Circa Millions, and I'm having a hard time.
I
was actually considering the Packers for whatever reason. I was like, you know, not even the Micah Parsons. It was sort of reverse psychology. Everybody thinks he's a Parsons, but he might not play. No, not because of Parsons, but yeah, man. I'll never forget the late, great Dave Malinsky when I was living in Vegas, and he lived across the street from the Hilton / Westgate H and all that, whatever the hell it's called all the time. But he lived on the golf course there, and he came over, and, you know, we used to hang out like on Saturday mornings in a contest. I put my picks in, and he'd be there with college football, et cetera. And I said, Dave, how come you're not in the contest ever? I said, you live across the street. Like, how is it that you've never entered this super contest? And he's, you know, remember the way he talked, huh? Gabriel, I've never liked five NFL games once in my life on a Sunday.
What a line.
Yeah. And I remember telling him, I said, oh, I have a hard time, Dave. I like nine of them. I have a hard time down to five.
Yes.
And now here I am older, Rob, and I'm like, dear God, like, why did I enter this contest? I can't come up with five. I like two. Like, you know what I mean? I'm looking at this stuff, and I'm like, I don't even know if I like these two. I'm like, you know, I want to bet some totals and some props here. I don't want to be five sides.
That's the hard part.
It's hard. Like, coming up with five sides this week, man, is a real bitch. I haven't even done it yet. Like, normally I'd know, oh, yeah, I'm taking this and that. I'm like, I don't know. I got three, four games circled that I really like. And even I'm getting phased out because I hear other people that I respect saying, you know, I'm on the other side. All right, college football. Rob Vino's got other tapes, shows, and videos to do. He's a busy man. James Madison, Louisville, over 55.5 tonight. I like it, Rob. Do you?
I'm there. I already played it. Yep.
There were 57s out there earlier.
Amazing.
Hey, it actually came down. Well, no, okay, Northern Illinois, Maryland, whatever. It's a low number at 45, doable. Maryland's got that new up-tempo offense, Rob, so I could see the Terps putting some points up, but Northern Illinois' offense is not that good. We saw 19 against Holy Cross only, but what about the Eastern Washington Boise 59? Does that one get after it? Does Boise just put the pedal to the metal?
Yeah, I got scared of it because I thought that Boise would do all the scoring here, but and it's not in my nature to do so, Gabe, but I laid 30.5 with Boise. I mean, I could see 52-7, and then you're sitting there ripping your hair out trying to get that
Eastern Washington team. I know in past years, you know, they had Vernon Adams and they've had guys. They're okay. Yeah. They lost 31-21 to Incarnate Word last week.
And let me say quickly, for those who follow FCS would already know, but those who don't, Eastern Washington, you know, that red field and the air raid and all the quarterbacks that have come out of there, Vernon Adams being one of them. They got a new offensive coordinator this year that's kind of taken that away and gone to more of an up-tempo. Kind of think of what Dan Mullen does and what Gus Malzahn does. They want to run up-tempo, but they do it more run-based. And it didn't work last week against Incarnate Word. I don't know how it works against a pissed-off Boise team.
Total's 42.5. Speaking of unders, guys, total's 42.5 in Iowa, Iowa State. Five out of the last six times that they played, they have failed to crack the 40-point barrier. Rob, take on that total.
We always talk about Army Navy, right?
Yeah, military. Honorary military game.
It's the same game, except with real schools. So it's hard to play it over because Kirk Ferentz is Kirk Ferentz. No matter who his quarterback is, no matter who his offensive coordinator is, things don't change. Iowa State has been surprisingly explosive, and I think it goes to show you that it's the system there, because they lost two 1,100-plus yard receivers, and they're still throwing the ball around. Rocco Beck doing a really good job there.
Baylor SMU feels like it could get after a Rob. That's a 63.5. Kent State and Texas Tech, you got a 60.5. Hell, Texas Tech can score 60 on Kent State if they want to. Any college totals catch your eye this week, Rob?
Yeah, real quick with that one, Gabe, Baron Morton was just ruled as going to play on Saturday. So the Texas Tech total did bump up from last night to this morning, rightfully so. The Baylor SMU game, I'll just go back to what you were talking about. Played Baylor plus the 2.5 here. Line came down. SMU's got a couple of key injuries here. And I just don't think that win, when I went through the numbers and then watched a little bit of the tape, that SMU win against East Texas State A&M last week was not very impressive whatsoever. So Baylor.
And Auburn could be that good, actually. Like that was super impressive. Like Baylor marched up and down the field and scored. It was like bing, bing, bing. But give credit to Auburn and that power run game that they had. You couldn't stop it.
Yeah, and consider what happened there, Gabe, because Baylor went into that game saying, we're going to take Coleman and Singleton Jr., what probably arguably one of the best five wide receiving tandems in the nation. We're going to take them out of the game and see what Auburn can do. And what did Auburn do? They went to that offensive line in that running game. So I think Auburn can be that good this year. Kind of a little sleeper one, but I think you'll buy into it maybe. A&M, Utah State up and over 54. A&M is probably good for 49 on their own against that defense. Utah State gives us the extra push over the numbers, so I like that one a little bit. The Rutgers defense, boy, I tried to get here. But that defense stinks, Gabe, and I think Greg Schiano alluded to it a little bit preseason. I didn't listen to him hard
enough. And their offense is good suddenly now, Rutgers. So it's at the total 45.
Yeah, it's up.
Exactly. Alanakis can ball. The Greek kid can ball.
They're just a different breed. And the Texas State, I mean, it's one of the highest totals on the board, but Texas State, UTSA, 66.5. It's probably headed for 70 plus. That's probably one of one of those specials that you and I like. Texas State, UTSA, up and over. Texas State, I think, had 606 total yards last week.
I know you got to get going. So two quick ones on the way out here. The big one, my Michigan Wolverines and Oklahoma. Everybody's talking about the under, but it's a pretty low number right now. Like 24-21 beats you. And that's a more than doable score in this football game. 44.5. And the nightcap, UCLA got their ass handed to them. That wasn't pretty last week. I admit I like them plus the points, but I think Utah might be that good actually as well. And I'm not making excuses, but Utah are good, good. Dampier was the real deal. I think this UCLA need this one, and I'm not sure, I think UNLV might be a soft 2-0. And hard not to like the over 55 in that, Rob. So Michigan and a UNLV-UCLA game, we'll get you out of here.
Well, real quick, sidewise, UCLA, I played. If you go through those numbers, Idaho State.
I got into an argument this morning on Florida Radio. I wake up at 6:30 in the morning, West Coast time. The guy for my picks, Cam, I give him my picks, UCLA, yep. And he starts arguing with me. Oh, really? How can you do that? Nico sucks. Oh, you said, did you see the game? I'm like, dude. I woke up at 6:30 in the morning.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you don't like the pick. Then I go, yeah. He didn't like my Dolphins
I hate
pick.
That again, too.
He's in Florida. Oh, the Dolphins suck. I was like, dude, whatever, man. Like, I got mad by the end of it. Like,
well, you're not even getting paid, too. You're waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning getting lambasted.
Nico's a joke. Yeah. They're a clown show.
You
UCLA.
Get people yelling at me.
I said, they're going to win. They better win, Rob, now, because I got mad. I said, they're going to beat them. Like, I almost told them to shut up.
Three's a crowd. Let's go Bruins.
Yeah, two things. I totally agree with you, Gabe, that Utah is that good. That's a top 10 offensive line with two guys that are going to go in the first round. Dampier makes all the difference in the world. If there's a team that should be angry, let's just start with Deshaun Foster, Nico, and the defensive coordinator on that team. All three of them should be ready to take the field again. And UNLV, I started to say, they played teams. Guys, they played teams in Idaho State and Sam Houston State. Idaho State just gave up 46 last week to Southern Utah. Who has UNLV? And UNLV wasn't even that impressive beating either one of them. So I like UCLA. I also think that Washington State's in for a tough season, Gabe. Jake Dickert left. He took half the team with him. It's another one of those cases. And they just don't look right. So I think San Diego State, for those that are going to, you know, play the degenerate special.
So is Oregon State, Rob. They looked awful against Cal. Like, at home.
And how about the Cal QB?
I know.
And we got to, because I thought of your line, Rob, of the border war in which you said Missouri, right?
You've
got connections to Mizzou, in which the Missouri dean say, or the AD said, he said, yeah, people from Kansas used to throw dynamite sticks over the border into Missouri. He goes, we'd light the fuse and throw it back.
That's amazing. That's
like how they are. I like that.
I love that.
My wife and I looked at each other like,
we light the fuse and throw it back. That's amazing.
We're in for a long 4 years. We looked at each other.
Well, you got a big game here. What about this one?
Yeah, I think Mizzou's the better team, honestly, Gabe, because I think they're the better defensive team. So if I play it, I'll be on the Mizzou side. Could get into a little bit of a scoring match, though. Honestly, we like overs. That could get into one. There's one I missed here real quick on the way out. Last year, Vandy and Virginia Tech, Vandy upset them, right? And the game hit 61 points. My feeling is that Diego Pavia is going to score on anybody, and that Caron Drones and Virginia Tech just saw one of the best pressure defenses they're going to face all season long. I don't know that Vandy brings that style of pressure. Last year at 61. This year they're showing me 47.5. They're giving me two touchdowns worth of wiggle room. I think it falls somewhere in between there. So I played over Virginia Tech Vanderbilt.
Real fun game too. Illinois and Duke. You know who, that's like a good, that's a big time basketball game, guys, but it's a big time football game. And I sort of forget too. I'm like, oh yeah, they got Mensa now at Duke. They got that quarterback. So they paid him big money. So they got a real quarterback there in Illinois. This is a fun game, Rob. It's down to 2.5, 49.
Yeah, and Manny Diaz has that defense hopping around again. I mean, they've had a great season last year. A little bit of a bullseye on their chest this year because people recognize them now, but still at home. I saw Brett Bielema talking about it, and he said all the right things. It's just a matter of his team executing them now. We'll see. I haven't played it yet, but I'm a little leery of Duke in that game.
I'm leaning Illinois. Illinois handled South Carolina last year, Lenore Seller, so they have shown they can deal with this type of quarterback. And I think they actually are that good, Illinois. Like, I think they're good. It's going to be a close game, though, fun game. Rob Vino, follow Rob online. He'll have takes, videos, picks, wagertalk.com, Rob Vino Sports on X. Rob, thanks for the time, my man. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, guys. BC team total over. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. CFL. Yeah. Sorry. Hey, as long as you're going to bring it up, you're damn right. Dude, I got the BC lines almost in every money line parlay, guys. I'm going all in here tonight. Wow. They're winning this football game. The rest of the CFL is all tomorrow, Rob. We got a triple header tomorrow. You got Ticats, Alouettes, Rough Riders, Bombers, Stamps, Elks. What do you think?
Well, the class difference between Calgary and Edmonton was evident last week. There's no way I can't play Calgary in that game. Montreal's got the two receivers coming back this week, right?
Right?
Could be a little different offensively here.
I like James Morgan, too. Morgan can throw the ball. Like, he didn't have his wide receivers when he played in that last game. It was a tough spot for him.
That total might be live game when Montreal.
Hamilton's D is porous, man. The Argos carved them up, but they their offense is
And even
good.
Though, like, Hamilton had been good and Montreal struggled, this is for the division. Like, it's balanced out because Montreal started off so strong. This is a massive game. Mm. The Alouettes have had this game circled. They're coming off a bye week. There's a lot to like about the Alouettes in this spot. And I agree with the total. I think it'll get there at 52. Rob Vino, always good, my man. Thanks, Rob.
Take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Awesome stuff with Rob Vino. So, you know, interesting college football slate tomorrow. At first glance, it doesn't have the high-profile matchups like it did last week, but it kind of does. You know, there's a couple of key, you know, really big-time football games. Baylor-SMU has, like, conference ramifications, playoff ramifications. Michigan and Oklahoma, playoff ramifications, big-time game for both programs. It's big for both of them. Like, for Michigan to get back on track after last year's sort of slip up, They won the championship 2 years ago. They're supposed to be back on track. Like, Michigan's roster is stacked. And you got Oklahoma, who, of course, they're getting upset with Venables down there, or Norman. They want to be better than they are. Yeah, they looked pretty good last week. They did beat Bama at home last year. That's a big one. The UCLA, UNLV one is massive. Like, say what you will about UNLV and their quality of their wins, but if Dan Mullen pulls this one out and they go to 3-0 with a feather in their cap win against a Big Ten team like UCLA, that's big time for UNLV. And UNLV will be 3-0, and people really will start to potentially turn on Foster at UCLA. He's got to win this game. Like, UCLA paid their quarterback $3 million. Like, they got to win this game. They got their ass handed to them by the Utah Utes. But Utah are that good, right? So I'm not really going to blame them for it. It was my fault for betting on them. But me and Cam will be on a Saturday at noon. And Texas is a big game this weekend that's being bet by everybody. After, like, Arch Manning got shut down last week, they're laying 37 points right now to San Jose State, who lost to Central Michigan. So San Jose State traveled to Austin, Texas, and lay get 37. Total is 52. I'm not going to hammer this. It's not like my best bet of the week or anything, but I just hate being part of the public herd on this, Cam. But I do think Texas are going to murder them.
Texas, they have to. And let's remember this game, Gabe. They got stopped at the goal line. There's a lot of things that happened in that game that really went against Texas. If you look at the box score, and I know we did, there's a lot of things that factor into a football game, but they could have won that football game on the road against Ohio State, who's arguably one of the best teams. So I would expect Texas to lay it on thick and win this game by 45+. I agree with you on UCLA. I don't know why that guy was laughing at you on his morning show, but that's nuts. They're going to have – they're very angry. UNLV hasn't been that impressive despite winning. That seems like a nice low number, Gabe. And I'm on Iowa. I don't care what anybody says. And the Cyclones have been a team that I've loved since I was, like, a young guy. Like, they've always been one of my favorite schools. But in this battle, it's always close. I'm getting 3.5 on FanDuel. You want to talk about a same-game teaser, I get the Hawkeyes plus 10.5 with under 49.5. You can sign me up.
Iowa State is a strange team to like – as a kid, just
because I don't know why
they've never won and they're so bland.
I know.
They're actually more, you know, they have a little bit of spice now. Like Rob said, they're better than people realize. They're one of those teams and schools and names. Like, if you did like a brand name sort of like poll, like they do, like it's called a Q test. And like a good example is like they name every professional sports team and you ask like 100,000 non-sports fans. Like, you know what I mean? Like, have you ever heard of this team or you know this or whatnot? Like, it's pretty funny like that, Q-Test. The Sacramento Kings, I think, were actually the most irrelevant franchise in sports. Like, they were like the least recognized, Cam. Like, they were like, people were like, I don't know who the Sacramento Kings
are. But, Gabe, we've been betting a long time. I know one thing about Iowa State.
People have heard of the New York Yankees. Yeah, of course. People have heard of the Michigan Wolverines.
People don't know the Sacramento damn
Kings. I don't know who Sacramento is. Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing, and you know this, Gabe. We've been betting a long time. Iowa State has always been good in big games, even when they didn't have Matt Campbell. They're just one of those institutions that never gets respect. They're scrappy.
Exactly. No, they're scrappy. And now they're actually good. I mean, they won 11 games last year. They won. Listen, no one liked them against K-State. They got it done. But in this spot, Iowa have gotten the better of them for the most part. To me, listen, if Iowa were 3.5-point favorites, I'd like Iowa State. Since Iowa are the ones getting 3.5, I like Iowa. It's that close. It's that, like, and like me and Rob stated, and we all know every time military academies play against each other, you take the under, and it hits at like a 84% clip type of deal, you know, over the last 20 years. Iowa State as well. Like I said, 5 of the last 6 times that they played, it hasn't cracked 40 points. And it's interesting because it was 41.5, but I see 42.5s out there right now. That game is at noon. So the noon start time when we come on actually be pretty hopping. Last week, you know, it was a big game, but it was kind of boring. So this week, at least we got a bunch of them. San Jose State, Texas. You know what? I'm not going to do it only because when you lay 37 points, all it takes is like one touchdown or two touchdowns from the other team and you're screwed. And I mean, last week I took Michigan. I was all, oh, good call when it was 14-0. Whatever. New Mexico ran that little fake field goal or little trick play they ran on us. It worked, and there goes the point spread. Illinois and Duke, really fun, hell of a game. I lean Illinois, but obviously it's not a best bet of the week. As far as better bets of the week, I agree with Cam. I like the Iowa Hawkeyes plus 3.5. I like the under 42.5. I got Baylor over 7.5 wins on the season, and they lost last week, but I'm not going to be deterred. I like what I saw from them on offense. Whatever, Auburn are a big-ass SEC team that just sort of punished them. SMU are like a poor man's Baylor almost. Like, SMU are not big. It's just a bunch of spread offense, fast hit type stuff. Baylor can deal with that. Give me Baylor plus the 2.5 over 63.5. Syracuse and Connecticut could be a fun one, actually, Cam. Under the radar game. Connecticut have gotten better. And that total you saw last week with Syracuse and Tennessee. Syracuse can't really stop anybody, but their offense is pretty good. And Syracuse are going to feel it's going to be a lot easier. And Syracuse actually battled valiantly against Tennessee last week. You know, hostile territory. You're going down into Atlanta, neutral field, my ass, and SEC country. So Syracuse, their offense, they're going to, you know, they're not playing Tennessee now. So Syracuse's offense really should click. We didn't get this to the one with Vino, but I'm sure he would agree. Over 58, UConn and Syracuse to over the 58. Kansas and Missouri, we talked about with Vino. This total is just too light. I'm surprised that it's 51 here. It's interesting. I told you guys before the year started that I love the Missouri Tigers over 6.5 wins. I think Missouri are a dark horse to make the playoffs. Their schedule is tailor-made for it. They don't play Texas. They don't play LSU. They don't play Tennessee. They don't play Georgia. And they're in the SEC, right? Like, they got to play Alabama. Okay, Alabama aren't even Alabama anymore. That game is in Missouri. They host Texas A&M and South Carolina. So, like, and so this, and their non-conference games are all cupcakes, Missouri, except for this one, this Kansas, like their rivalry game here, the border war.
Ohio State's playing Grambling. They're minus 55.5. Are you kidding me? Grambling?
Yeah, I predicted it would be 55.5, but so the Missouri Tigers, there's some sort of like, I don't know, negative perception about the Missouri Tigers, but people don't trust Bo Prabhula for whatever reason. And Bo Prabhula was a big time recruit who was on the Penn State Nittany Lions, but they got Drew Aller. So the kid was never going to play. And he left last year before the playoffs, if you remember. He got criticized for leaving the team before the playoffs and stuff. It's funny, he didn't get called out like Nico did, even though his kid left before the playoffs. But it was sanctioned by Franklin. They liked him. And he had to go because he had to get a spot, basically. If he stayed, he would have missed out. So he becomes the quarterback of Missouri. He didn't really win the starting job easily against Sam Horn. It was a competition, but Horn's hurt. So Prabhula's the guy right now, but he looks good. I think Prabhula's going to be fine. He can run the ball. You know, he's refined as a passer. He hasn't thrown the ball much. He's still young. But Mizzou are good. Like, they're underrated. Kansas' defense going to give some points up here. Missouri, I like Missouri here. I think Missouri's going to win a game, but I like Missouri and Kansas to go over the 51 points. And then you've got Michigan. We talked about, I want to get to the NFL, but we've got the Michigan game Saturday night. Michigan are getting an even 5 right now. The total is 44.5. And I get it, guys. You know, there's people think it's going to be a smash mouth and Underwood's a freshman quarterback. It's his first career road start. Michigan's got an awesome defense. Oklahoma supposedly has a great defense. Still, 44.5 is not a lot of points in a college football game. And I know I said the same thing last week against Texas and Ohio State, but the fact of the matter is that they have a game under their belts, a different scenario here, and 24-21 gets us there. And every time I've been thinking about this game throughout the week, and I've thought a lot, long and hard about this football game, I sort of keep coming back to this. Like, you know, 24-20, someone's going to 24-21, 26-23. Although, for what, yeah, it's a college game, I got a weird feeling that Michigan and Oklahoma ends up like with a weird score. Like, you know, 24, 25, 24. It'll be like a 1 point, like field goal, like, you know, 1 point, someone misses a field goal late or something. But I think Michigan are the real deal. And I think Michigan are better than Oklahoma are. Like, Michigan are further along, like here. Like, Michigan are stacked. Oklahoma have, like, you know, 10 stud players and, like, you know, three to five really good players. Michigan have like 20 stud guys, right? Like, Michigan should win on talent, but it's in Norman, Oklahoma. It's a Saturday night. College game day is going to be there. Sooner Lisa is going to be there, and she's actually got a Morenci sign and a Michigan sign. She's trying to get on college game day with the sign. We'll see if they put it on TV.
Amazing.
Says Morenci says go blue. It's something to do with McAfee. She's trying to get on, like, she's trying to get on TV tomorrow night. So hopefully she does. But I think Michigan are going to grind this out. They're going to pull it out. Underwood's going to, like, show people why he's this big-time prospect. And I said before the year started, I said Arch Manning is getting all the hype as the quarterback, but Underwood is better. And
you know what it is, too, Gabe?
This is a chance for Underwood to prove it.
And go, wow, New Mexico scored 17. Michigan kept a lot of stuff vanilla. Like, it was one of those games. It's like, you can't look at that game. It's a tune-up game for this game against Oklahoma. And if you really look at Oklahoma, I think Michigan, to your point, is better almost at I know Mateer's good, but Michigan going on the road, Oklahoma has to win by 6 points to cover this game. I think it's going to be very tight. I would not be shocked if Michigan won outright. I think Michigan's the side in this game. It's not my favorite game of the week, but I'll tell you one thing. Don't let that New Mexico 17 points fool you. Michigan will be fine in this game. I think they can win outright.
Michigan are getting plus 165 on the money line. I wish it was a little bit higher. And I'm not saying I wish it was higher because I would take it. And now I'm not because I am taking it. I think they're going to win the game outright. I'll take the 5 points as well, but I'm going to attack the money line. Basically, look, I like Michigan to go to the playoffs. I said all along, I think Michigan's a 10-2 football team. Like, I'm not saying they're invincible. They'll stumble, and they got a couple of tough games. You know, at USC is not going to be an easy one. Ohio State, obviously, to end the year. You know, the Michigan State's a rivalry game. Like, you know, there's, you know, college teams slip up. It happens. But this is a massive game for both programs. 7:30 ESPN. Last week, Michigan was on NBC at 7:30 on Saturday night. This week, it's the ESPN, I guess, / ABC game, right? So, like I said, college game day will be there. All right, so as I stated earlier, it's super contest time. It's Survivor. It's Survivor time. It's Circa Millions time. Everybody's, you know, in local contest, and online sports books have their contest. Bet Online, of course, got the Survivor for $1 million. It's a $30 entry fee, and thanks to them for the free entries that they gave us to give away to some of the Rageaholics yesterday. So best of luck to you. So like I said, when Dave Malinsky famously told me, Gabriel, I've never liked 5 NFL games on one Sunday in my life. And Dave was always sort of more of a, you know, a quality over quantity better. Like, Dave didn't bet a million games. He'd sort of pick his spots in the National Football League. And I remember kidding with him. I was like, man, I always like so many. I wish I had multiple teams. I have a hard time getting it down to 5 games. And he sort of chuckled and laughed at me. And he chuckled, but now I realize he was laughing at me in a sense that now that I'm older, that I'm smarter, that it's like 5 games. It's like,
it's tough.
You got to be kidding me. They're not jumping off the screen at me. I don't like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, you're throwing darts, especially we're coming into week one here right now. Normally, historically, I've done really well in the first couple of weeks of the NFL season. And I've always repeated myself. Like, I usually kill it in like the first month, and then I hit a wall, like, you know, like week 4 to week 6. Like, I usually have a bad, like, beginning of October. I always have a good September. I always have a bad, like, mid-October, and then I'll sort of bounce back around Halloween. It's like rinse and repeat. And it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy now at this point, because it's in my head so much that it just happens like all the time. But normally I'm pretty good, and people know, like, that have been following me for a long time, normally I'm good at picking things off like early when there's a lot of unknowns. And you hear a lot of people saying, you know, I wait for the data to come in after a month type of deal before I start betting more. Yet the NFL is just such an unpredictable beast that, you know, I'm not going to be cocky enough to think that I know better than anybody else here. So, Cam, what are your best bets in the National Football League?
Nobody knows anything, Gabe. That's the whole thing. I'm glad we started with the Cowboys. It would have been nice to hit everything, that teaser. By the way, the teaser middle, 4-0, every side last night in the Philadelphia game. I like the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know this is crazy because I've been a big advocate of Carolina. I do like the Carolina Panthers, and I agree with everything you said. That offense is going to be better, but Jacksonville's offense is going to be a lot better. That dynamic receiving core that they have, Strange is an underrated tight end, and I think Lawrence will be very comfortable in this spot. I like them to win by a touchdown or more. The Raiders, people like New England. I like the Raiders. Raiders in this spot. Gabe, I agree with Vino on the under, but we're doing sides here. +2.5 for the Raiders. I think they could win the game outright. The Miami Dolphins, I don't know why they're dogs in this game. I worry a little bit. We're all on Miami. I know you are too, but they should be able to beat Indianapolis. It's the first week of the year. They got healthy players right now. Tua is not banged up, so give me the Dolphins outright. I also like the Cleveland Browns, a little bit of a leap of faith at +5.5, but I think they could beat the Bengals due to that porous defense. Your point was very valid, though. The Bengals have to erase horrible starts from years past, but I'm not sure they can, because Cleveland, one thing they can do is get pressure on the quarterback. So them +5.5. And I also will take a shot with the Detroit Lions +2.5. And the last one I got for you is the New York Giants +5.5. It was 6 against the Washington Commanders. A lot of small dogs.
All week, I've liked the there's still some sixes out there. And that's another thing, guys, this time of the year, it's good to have multiple books. There really are different lines, especially for the touchdown scoring props. And I bet too much at Bet365 only, and I got to shake it up more. Like, there's better CFL numbers out there and like for touchdown scoring props and stuff. So I'm guilty of it where I got lazy and like, nah, whatever. But now that I've been sort of on top of it this week, now I'm like, yeah, you know what? I want like 4 or 5 different options now for each bet. So there are sixes out there for the Giants. I like the Giants sort of all week. I've kind of talked myself out of it, and suddenly I'm scared of it.
I'm scared of it, too.
So I'm not well, you just gave it, Cam, 10 seconds.
I know, but ago, I did give it 10 seconds, but it doesn't mean I'm not scared. Like, a lot of people, it's a public doc, Gabe, and I know we've been doing this a long time. The Giants could get murdered in this game, but I like their front seven. I felt very confident. Like, that's the thing about the NFL. I don't know if people lock in picks on Tuesday. My opinions can change from day to day, from hour to hour on games when I'm looking at stuff, but I'm still taking them, but I'm worried. I think it's a very tough game.
I think from my own experience, if my mind is changing, then I don't bet the game. Like, I same thing with a fight. I've learned that from the UFC years ago, that if there's a fight where you like someone and you don't, you like the other and whatever, then you don't really know. It's not a good bet. Like, if you don't know, right? Like, I haven't changed my mind per se, but like, there's a difference between liking something on Tuesday, not on Wednesday, on Thursday. Then you're just flip-flopping. Then you don't really like anything, right? You're just sort of like blowing in the wind. You know what I mean? You're not like committed to anything. But I think there's a difference in which you can like something through the week and then realize, you know what, this isn't really a good play. And I'm just going to back off, right? I'm just going to back off. Like I said, I lean with the Giants, but I have gotten cold feet about it, just because I think Washington are that good. And I think the Giants could be competitive and stuff, but I was thinking about it. It's sort of like last night where the Cowboys hung around and then Washington, Philadelphia ends up winning. They didn't cover, but this spread isn't very big. And it's going to be hard to trade points, man, with the Washington Commanders. That's just my thing with this. But so I wish everyone the best of luck. It's a tough ass game. I'm sort of looking at the pick'em games and stuff where I am kind of committed to it. Like, I would like the Buffalo Bills if they were -2.5, -3 here. They're +1. They're at home. It's the opening Sunday night game of the year. Buffalo beat Baltimore in the playoffs last year. Buffalo got their ass handed to them in Baltimore in a regular season game last year. Right. And it seems to be the pattern. Like, home, if this game was in Baltimore, I wouldn't be saying, oh, the Bills are going to win for sure. I'd say, Baltimore probably wins and beats them down on Sunday night football at home. So I think the home field advantage is so big for the Buffalo Bills there. And it's insane. Guys, this is the first time in 38 regular season home games that the Buffalo Bills are home underdogs. A game that we haven't talked about a lot that kind of is strange, that it's weird. Everybody likes the LA Rams this year and are very high on the Rams. Like, the Rams are like a lot of people, a lot of smart people and sharp guys are betting the Rams to win the Super Bowl and the NFC. And, the Rams are a trendy team. Yet they were like 2.5, 3-point favorites against a Texans team that people don't really like coming into this year. And I don't know, people like really sort of locked in, like a lot of like handicappers sort of are locked in that the Rams are going to have a slow start to the year. Right. Matt Stafford's back is hurt and they didn't play anyone in training camp and all this. But, man, Stafford's back has been hurting for 5 years, man. And the guy still plays all the time. Like, he gets shot up. He rolls out there. His wife is annoying as hell, but he's a warrior out there. I think he's kind of a dick, too, to be honest. But, it's funny, too. I saw his wife on her podcast. I saw the clip. It was from this week. She said that kids at school in Detroit were harassing her kids over the trade to the Rams. I'm going to call her a liar. I don't think any six-year-old kids know and give a damn about NFL trades. Like, I'm just point blank. Like really?
Man, it's amazing.
Like, they were getting a call.
I'm with you. That's BS.
She's the same one that when they played the playoff game, when they went back to Detroit, she said that Lion fans accosted her and it was, you know, it was over the top. And there were like 100 witnesses around and people had film. And people were like, no one said a damn word to her. Like, they knew it was Stafford's wife. No one said anything to her. Like, but she, people were harassing me. And like, she's just so full of it. But I like the Rams in that game. I think the Rams are going to beat the Texans. I like the Bills to beat the Ravens. I do. I like the Miami Dolphins. I agree with the Miami Dolphin pick. I've been on the Dolphins for a couple of weeks. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers to beat the New York Jets this week. Aaron Rodgers against Justin Fields. And I like the Vikings on Monday night to beat the Bears. I'd prefer if Jordan Addison was there. Mm-hmm. But I think J.J. McCarthy is going to get the W in his home state in his first ever NFL start. I brought up a couple of trends for you on the way out here. Some NFL trends, as I mentioned. Kyler Murray is 25-12-2 against the spread on the road in his career. Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray / Arizona have been a very good road team, but they're normally underdogs. So now they're laying 6.5. I agree with Vino's take earlier in that game that there's going to be some points in that game, but I do think Arizona win, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was close. Panthers ended the season 7-2 against the spread last year. The Jags ended the Jags are 1-6 on the money line and against the spread. Their last 7 home games in the month of September. They start slow all the time. You got a new coach there now, so maybe it'll be different. You got Travis Hunter. You got Liam Cohen's the new coach there. But I got the feeling the Panthers are going to come to play in this game. I think this game's going to be close and come down to the wire. I like the Panthers plus the 3.5, and I like the over. Like I said, the teams were combined 22-12 to the over last year. I brought it up earlier. The Bengals are 1-9 straight up, 3-7 against the spread in week 1 and week 2 in the Joe Burrow era. But that number's down to 5 right now. I think it's come down so low that Cincinnati are actually going to mess them up. Steelers, last 4 road week 1 games. So the last 4 times, the last 4 years that the Steelers have opened up the season on the road, they've won the game outright, and they've covered. 4-0 straight up, 4-0 against the spread. Mike Tomlin's just a stud. And they're playing a New York Jet team that is 7-19 against the spread in the month of September. 6-20. Think about that. The last 26 games in the month of September. That's like over 4 years of football. The Jets have only won 6 times. And yeah, they got Fields and they got a new coach now and stuff. And they do have talent. I wanted to buy into them, but they're the Jets. Tampa Bay Buccaneer head coach Todd Bowles, 6-1 against the spread in week 1 of his career, including 3-0 against the spread as a week 1 favorite. Seahawks 1-5 against the spread last year as a home underdog. That's something, and you're a Seahawks fan, so mm-hmm. And you got to give your pick there. That's something that Seattle has to improve immensely on, is defending their home field. Like, all the talk of the 12th man stuff has been overhyped. It's still loud there. It's a super loud stadium. I was at a game last year there, and I was sitting next to a bunch of Seahawks. I was a Bills fan, but I was sitting next to a bunch of Seahawks season ticket holders, and they basically said that team, you know, people don't like Geno Smith, and they don't like the team, right? They, you know, people didn't like the team. They, you know, they were sick of Metcalf, and like, they really were. So, and they weren't winning. So basically, like, all of the Seahawks fans that I talked to, and I'm in the Pacific Northwest, all said, you know, they're just not that good. So the season ticket holders are selling their tickets now to the visiting fans. That used to be unheard of. They'd be like, Seahawks fan, I'm not selling you my ticket. Like, you know, it was unheard of. Like, the 49er fans take this stadium over all the time now. And, like, the Seattle fans get embarrassed by it. But I think they're and it speaks for itself. Like I said, I hammered the Bills last year. The Bills went in there and beat the crap out of the Seahawks. Like, it was almost easy. And the numbers speak for themselves. 1-5 against the spread as a home underdog last year. And supposedly one of the toughest stadiums in America to play in. They got to tighten that up. And they have a chance to do it against San Francisco this week. What's your pick?
Yeah, no, Gabe, actually, to take a look at it, like they go on the East Coast, they beat New England, they play Detroit tough. It's things have totally changed. When I was younger with Sean Alexander and stuff, they never lost at home. I'm taking the Seahawks in a teaser. I don't want to take the easy way out, but I do think they can beat San Francisco. But you're right. Things have totally changed with this team. I like them on the East Coast, preferably than at home at the West Coast. So they got to show up. San Francisco week one. I know a lot of people are talking about the 49ers soft schedule. We'll see. Everyone's down on Darnold. I think their defense is a lot better. I think their head coach has done a good job. And I really like what I saw in the preseason. Close game. I think Seattle, if they lose, it's only by three, Gabe. I think this game's coming down to a field goal.
I'll predict that Seattle wins this game. I'm not high on San Francisco. McCaffrey's already beat up right now. I'm sure he'll play, but he's already, like, I stayed away from him in fantasy. But I like, listen, I love what I know Seattle know these numbers. Like, they know that they've been bad at home. They know they've got to win the city back fully. And they kind of are. Like, you know, that preseason was kind of, they had a special preseason, the Seahawks. Like I said, like, there was a lot of energy in the stadium. The fans were positive. And I'm not, it's not like they hated Geno Smith, but like, it was just that team was the same team all the time. It had this ceiling that they weren't going to get better, right? And, you know, the Lockett era and Metcalf, they had to let go of the pass, essentially. And they're younger. They fly around with the football. I love the energy of this team. Like I said, I'm going to roll the dice with the Seattle Seahawks in that game. I'm going to take the I'll buy a half point and get it up to three. But give me the Seahawks in that game. I talked about liking the Rams. Texans are another one, guys. They always start off slow. They're 2-6 straight up and 1-7 against the spread on the road in week one in the last 20 years. So think about it. The last 20 years, they've only opened up on the road 8 times. Man, it's a lot of home games. So they've only opened up on the road 8 times in the last 20 years, and they've only covered once. They're 1-7 against the spread. Now you're asking them to go into L.A., and the spread is only 3. This isn't great from my perspective, from the Bills, but I'm just reading you the trends for these games that I thought were pertinent. The Ravens are 7-1 on the money line and against the spread on the road in primetime games. That's super impressive. Like, people talking about Kirk Cousins. So Lamar Jackson, 7-1. 7-1 money line and against the spread on the road in primetime games. Ravens are playing the Bills on Sunday night football, of course. And one thing with the Buffalo Bills, they haven't been great season openers. They're 2-2 straight up in their last 4 games to open the season. Like, they've lost. They lost to the Jets a couple of years ago. They barely beat the Cardinals last year. They barely, was it the Steelers they lost? Like, the Bills, like I said, like in the Josh Allen era, it hasn't been all like all roses in week one for the Bills. They're 2-2 straight up in their last 4 years. Just to throw that out there. I still think the Bills are going to win, but I'm just letting you know the numbers. No bias here. And as I said, I like the Minnesota Vikings on Monday night, and the Vikings are 0-6 straight up, 1-4-1 against the spread, their last 6 road primetime games. But that was essentially Sam Darnold, and that was essentially Kirk Cousins. So now you got J.J. McCarthy. And J.J. McCarthy's first ever NFL start is going to be on the road in primetime Monday night football against the Chicago Bears. So there are the trends of the week in the National Football League. Rob Vino joined us earlier with some of his best bets of the week. Cam gave us his plays. I'm going to do some videos. I'll post everything on X. I've talked about who I like throughout the week. You guys know UCLA, Michigan, Baylor. I'm leaning Illinois against Duke tomorrow. I got a couple of totals that will be posted in the Kansas and the Mizzou game to go over the number. NFL football, we're going to dial it all up and in. We're going to come up with our 5 picks for the circa millions and try to get off to a hot start here. And you know what? You got to go 5-0 to have a chance to win that first quarter stuff. And you got to go 15-0, 14-1 or whatever. But I'm just sort of hoping to go like, you know, 4-1 would be great. If I go 3-2, I'll take it and just sort of move on. Week one, Cam, like I said, I'm kind of throwing darts here, but I've got about 5-6 games circled, 7 games circled, and I've just sort of got to figure out which one I want to die on the hill with, you know, like the Viking game. Like, I like the Vikings, but I don't, you know, I was thinking about putting it in the contest, and I'm like, yeah. It's not a contest pick. It's, you know, I'll bet it, but it's not a contest pick. But I've got a couple hours still to figure it out.
You do. I was just going over the Seahawks stuff again. Gabe, do you know they lost one game on the road last year? One.
Well, they're a good road
7
team.
And 1. That's what I'm saying. They can't win at home. And they was to Detroit. That's it. They won every other road game.
You can't you're not going to listen. They won 10 games last year. It's the thing with the one thing with Seattle, it's sort of like I kidded about Sacramento earlier with the Kings, but teams in the Pacific Northwest, it's almost like being a team in Canada. Like the Seattle Mariners don't really get talked about like in the same way like other teams do. Like same with the Blue Jays. Like the Blue Jays haven't been on Sunday Night Baseball since 2016. And the Seattle Seahawks are the same way. The only way that people are going to talk about the Seattle Seahawks is if they have to. And, you know, Russell Wilson's in the Super Bowl with them. And you have Marshawn Lynch, etc. But like so people are so down on Seattle all the time. But they won, you know, they win games. And I think they got a better roster now, actually, that they're younger and edgier. That division is going to be a lot of fun this year with the 49ers, the Rams, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks. They're all good. Like, they're just, you know, man, and we'll see if Arizona can take that step. But I think they're kind of poised to be good this year. But we could go on and on, but we're going to wrap things up. Me and Cam will be on Sports Grid Television Network, Radio Network, Saturday at noon Eastern for all those kick-ass early college football games. And I'll be on Sunday night football, the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. And, of course, Friday night football. Me and Wetzel were on last night in our first game of the year. We get Delta Lightning to run. Who knows what's going to happen tonight in Brazil. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.